This is Scott Becker with the Becker's Healthcare Podcast. I'm thrilled today to be joined by Dr. Craig Best. Dr. Best runs the Tufts Physician Organization. We're going to talk to him about that today and more, leadership and his journey to leadership and so forth. Dr. Best, can you take a moment and introduce yourself?
Sure, Scott. First of all, thanks for having me. I'm Craig Best. I'm an OBGYN by training, and I'm the president and CEO of the Tufts Medical Center Physician Organization, and that's based in Boston, Massachusetts. Thanks for having me.
No, thank you for joining us. Tell me, do you still practice OB-GYN at all, or completely 100% running the physicians organizations, Tufts Magnificent Medical Center? Tell us about your sort of mix of roles today.
Sure. I do practice a little bit of OBGYN, primarily just seeing clinics with low-level types of patients where I may have a medical student with me. But most of my time, more than 95% of my time, is actually spent in an administrative role here at the Tufts Medical Center Physician Organization. And if you'd like to hear a little bit more about that, I can certainly tell you.
Well, yes. Can you tell us a little bit first about the Tufts Physician Organization and what that comprises? And then we'd love to talk about your transition to that leadership role versus practicing full-time, which I assume at one point you did, but some time ago. But talk to us a little bit about what the Tufts Physician Organization looks like today.
Sure. First of all, there's a number of different types of physician organizations. There's academic physician organizations, which the Tufts organization is. There's large multi-specialty groups. There's physician hospital organizations that are sort of the physicians working with a hospital to provide care and contract with patients. But many academic medical centers throughout the country have what they call physician organizations. And here at the Tufts Medical Center, PO, we're a group of about 650 doctors. We have 75 what we call advanced care practitioners. This is nurse practitioners and PAs and certified nurse anesthetists. And we also have 50 PhD researchers. We're all affiliated with the Tufts Medical Center based in Boston and with the Tufts University School of Medicine. Now, these are academic, clinical, and research professionals that care for patients. They teach the next generation of doctors and clinicians. And these professionals also do clinical, translational, and also basic science research. The PO hires, we onboard, we engage these professionals, we manage their salary and benefits and their productivity. And we, my team and me, we assist the department chairs in managing their department P&Ls. So I have roughly 17 department chairs and service line leaders that report to me, as well as an executive management team. And I can tell you it's a great deal of fun working with this group because they're very smart, they're very committed, and we think we do a really terrific job in providing care and training here at Tufts.
Take a moment and talk about, when you talk about the Tufts Physician Organization, and what a fascinating mix with all the PhDs mixed in with the advanced practitioners as well as the physicians. Talk about what is your most or biggest key points of pride in the organization.
Well, we just recently added the PhD researchers, and that was a source of pride because I feel that we had really done a terrific job in engaging our physicians and advanced care practitioners in raising their satisfaction scores with the organization and really reducing the turnover of our clinicians. When I came to the organization about 4.5 years ago, we had a fairly high turnover rate and a fairly low clinician satisfaction rate. That's greatly improved. and we just added the PhD researchers to the mix so that we can engage that group. We can advocate for that group, and they work very closely together because on the clinical side, they're also doing clinical and translational research, which intersects with the PhD researcher work. Some of these PhDs are doing basic science research, but many of them are also doing clinical translational research. So they really work hand in hand.
Let me ask you a question about the PhD researchers. It's so interesting that you talked about that, because that's what caught me sort of the most by surprise. And you sort of made the decision along the lines of, in simple talk, go big or go home. Because I see people sometimes dabble in this, and dabbling doesn't really work when they add in five of those, they add in three of those. I've seen data scientists where a group adds in two data scientists to support a group of 700 professionals or whatever it might be, and it obviously becomes very hard to do anything with that. What are some of the plans you have for the PhD researchers and so forth, and the theory and strategy behind some of that?
Well, again, as I pointed out, they work very much hand in hand with our physician researchers and our physician scientists. So we have a number of research institutes here at Tufts Medical Center where we have a mix of clinicians and PhDs. So in some cases, it's hard to distinguish between one and the other. Some of our physicians have big research grants and some are in the hands of our PhD researchers. But we just felt that that bringing them together, that they would have a more robust salary structure benefit plan, that if they sat within the physician organization, that we felt we could advocate better for them if they have space needs and other needs. And it was just a really good mix. Some of the POs in town do put them together. For instance, at Mass General Hospital, you'll find the PhDs with the physician organization, but many other physician organizations do separate the two. I just think it works very well here at Tufts Medical Center.
Yeah, we think, just so clear, we think it's magnificent and fantastic. And talk to me for a second about your journey to leadership from OB-GYN to leading a very prestigious physician organization at one of the great medical centers. Talk about sort of your journey to leadership and how you got there and part of how that evolved.
Well, I can tell you, as most journeys go, it wasn't planned from the start. When I decided to become a physician, I was attracted to two things. I was attracted to leadership, and I was also very interested in business. When I was an undergrad, I was a biochem major and also a business major. I ultimately dropped the business major so I could get through school quicker and get on to medical school, but it was always very much of an interest of mine. And I held a number of leadership positions through my college and through medical school. But when I was a resident, my main interest was actually becoming an academic physician. And through my residency training, I set up an animal lab at one of the local colleges. I got a research grant, and I was actually out pretty much on my own doing animal clinical research. I published a number of papers. Ultimately, that led me to Boston and Harvard Medical School at Brigham and Women's Hospital, where I did two fellowships. I did my first fellowship, clinical fellowship in reproductive immunology or endocrinology, and then a second fellowship was a James Kennedy Fellow, which they only grant one of these a year to all the fellows of OBGYN. I did that in the area of reproductive immunology, where I was doing basic research. So my initial plan was to be an academic, to chair a OBGYN department at one of the leading universities in the country, But things changed. When I was doing my second fellowship, the research fellowship, I had a business opportunity and got involved in a business with my brother. It's an interesting story because we both had invested in a home infusion company, and in fact, my brother had moved his family from California to Texas to be a VP of business development for this company. And as it turned out, the company was going to go bankrupt because of the Stark laws. What he didn't realize was 90% of the business that the company was doing was being sent to it by five infectious disease physicians who were also owners of the company. And the Stark laws would have prevented that self-referral. So the company looked like it was going bankrupt. And so I spent an afternoon in Texas with my brother brainstorming what we could do with this company. And we ultimately came out of the brainstorming session determining that we would turn this home infusion company into a specialty pharmacy company serving the infertility sector. And so we set up a pilot project at one of the hospitals where I was moonlighting, where they had asked me to set up a fertility program. The nurses and the patients loved it. And in short time, I had my brother in front of one of the major teaching hospitals in Boston, where we got our first account at one of the Harvard hospitals. And it was like overnight, we were doing $3 million a year in specialty pharmacy revenue. And from then, the company just took off. It was an Inc. 500 company. And for those of you that don't know what Inc. 500 is, it's one of the 500 fastest growing private companies in the United States. Over a 10-year period, we grew revenue over 100-fold. And then we sold the company in 2006. From then, my career took on more of a management and then administration roles. I then took a position at Reliant Medical Group, a large multi-specialty group in central Massachusetts, where I was chair of OBGYN, and both at the multi-specialty group and at the local hospital, St. Vincent Hospital in Worcester. And I did that for 7 years. I also was on the business development team at Reliant. I was medical director for business development there, where we were establishing new programs and new products. And finally, I took the position here about 4.5 years ago at Tufts Medical Center Physician Organization. And now I consider myself more of an administrator, but I'm still very connected to medicine. I'm connected to physicians. I've never left the practice of medicine, and I've always seen that as being an integral part of my being, of my interest, my passion.
Well, what a magnificent career, and you're at a magnificent institution now, Dr. Best. It's a pleasure to speak with you today. I would love to have you on again and talk more about some of the things that we'd like to visit with you about strategy and how you look at strategy and some of your thinking around these things, about the mix of entrepreneurial career with medical career and administrative career and more. So we'll invite you to come back if we could beg you to do so. But what a pleasure to visit with you today, Dr. Best. Thank you very much.
Well, it was a pleasure meeting with you, and I'm happy to get together anytime you would like.
Thank you so much.